please turn to Revelation 11. We'll go to Revelation 11. And let's ask the Lord to bless this morning as we study. Father, we pray that this revelation of Jesus Christ would be unlocked by thy Holy Spirit today, and that we would see the things from your word that we need, Lord, for our lives today and in the future. We pray you would teach us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Revelation chapter 11. And we have been saying that in Revelation, it ties in with Daniel. And Daniel chapter 12 and verse 11, talks about this. And, Daniel chapter 12 verse 11 talks about an extra 30 days. Remember, there's 1260 days from the middle of the 7 years till the end of the 7 years. And then there's an extra 1,200, there's a figure mentioned in Daniel 12:11, 1,290 days. That's an extra 30 days. And that's at the end of the 70th week. Now, that's important because during that time, Christ is going to come back physically to reclaim the earth. He does not come back to the earth and touch down on the earth until the end of the 7 years. Now, we know sometime during the second 3.5 period of the 7 years is the beginning of the 7 years. Sometime during the second 3.5 years, he's going to come back again in the clouds. And that's called his second coming. And that continues on through this period of time when he actually touches down. But he does not touch down on the earth until the end of the 7 years. Why is that? Well, because it takes 70 times 7 for Israel to be chastened enough and judicially punished enough by God as he has decreed before they can as a nation have their eyes opened and see the Lord and accept the Lord. So that's why the Lord waits to be gracious. He waits until the chastening of Israel is over at the end of the last 7 years. And then he touches down on the earth to save Israel and to reclaim the earth, because once Israel is saved, then the kingdom of God can come to this earth. And we know that 1/3 of the Jewish people will survive the tribulation of the second 3.5 years and will survive the day of the Lord. And that 1/3 all will be saved as they see the Lord. Now, the Lord is going to come back to Jordan. He's going to march north and then west. And he'll take people with him that have been hiding in Jordan, 144,000, and others that have been hiding in the caves of Jordan. He'll march for 2 days up toward Jerusalem. And then he, on the third day, by the way, as he's marching north and west, Jewish people that are hiding not only in Jordan but in the wilderness of Judea, people that have been in the east, in Assyria, and Egypt from the south, they're going to come and they're all going to gather together to the Lord. And he'll march 2 days, and then on the third day, they will recognize him and repent and receive him as their Savior and their Messiah. They'll recognize who he is, and that'll be on the third day after the 7 years, the third day of the 30 days. On the fourth day, the Lord comes up to Jerusalem, and something has happened at the very end of the 70th week that the Lord does something on the fourth day. Does anybody know what the Lord does on the fourth day of the 30 days, something very special that he does on that day? What is it that he does on the fourth day? All right, Cynthia?
The rapture?
On the fourth day, the rapture. Oh, no, not the rapture.
Okay, I guess I'm
fun. Not that. On the fourth day, the Lord raises from the dead the two witnesses, Elijah and Moses, that were killed, and he raises them from the dead. Remember, for 3 days, people have been watching their bodies lie in the city of Jerusalem, and they're raised from the dead on the fourth day. All right, and then on day number 5, the Bible says that the second woe is past. That's in Revelation 11:14. And remember, there are 3 woes, the 5th trumpet judgment, the 6th trumpet judgment, and the 7th are the 3 woes. The second woe is past. And then the 7th angel, the 7th trumpet by the 7th angel is going to be sounded on top of Mount Zion, which is the Temple Mount, where the Lord is going to go up there and sound that trumpet judgment, the final trumpet judgment, okay? That's on day 5 of the 30 days. All right, now, When that happens, day five of the 30 days, and that trumpet is sounded, what does that release? That is going to release something else. All right, does anybody know what the seventh trumpet judgment releases when the angel blows that seventh trumpet? Marion? That's going to release the seven bowl judgments, which are quick, rapid, universal judgments that will destroy the whole world. And God, during that time, is going to protect the Jewish people that have been saved on day three. And He will protect them. And that's going to happen because the Bible says that when the trumpet is blown, the judgments are going to be poured out on the earth. But the Lord is going to protect His people. He's going to come down off the Temple Mount with the 144,000 where the trumpet was blown on day five. And He's going to go up on what mount? He comes down off Mount Zion and goes up on what mount at that time? Kimmy? The Mount of Olives. And Brother Bob, what happens to the Mount of Olives when He steps on it at that time?
It splits in two.
And it reconfigures that whole area there. It's going to be split in two. And has anybody ever gone to Israel or Jerusalem or anything like that? One of these days we'll have to take a trip there. But it splits in two and it goes each way. And the Lord is going to take the Jewish people that have been saved, that whole one third of the nation, and He's going to hide them in a place called Azel. And that's mentioned in Zechariah 14, 2 through 5. You don't have to look there now. But He's going to hide them there. Why do you think He's going to hide them there and protect them there? All the Jewish people now that have survived and have been saved by accepting Him, He's going to protect them. Why do you think He's going to hide them inside of that place there in the valley? Carl?
From
the judgments. That's exactly right. The fiery judgments He's going to pour out on the earth for the rest of the days. All right. Now, this may happen around day six, we believe. But from day six through day 30, there's going to be these bowl judgments. And they're going to hit one right after the other. And He wants to protect His people. Now, will anybody survive this? There may be some survivors. There will be some survivors. But not a whole lot. The Bible says man will be as rare as the gold of Ophir is. Why? Because this is all part of God's wrath. He is going to pour out His wrath on the earth, and it's going to be hell on earth. Some people say, well, this is hell. You ever hear people say, oh, I don't worry about hell. This is my hell. Let me tell you, you have not seen hell yet on earth, but it will come on earth. And God has heard that. He's heard people say that over and over again. He is going to give them hell. He's going to give them hell on earth. Now, if you're saved, you won't experience that because God has not appointed a saved person to the judgment of God. Jesus Christ took that judgment for us so that we're saved and we'll be raptured before the day of the Lord's wrath. But the day of the Lord will happen somewhere between at the last 3.5 years, somewhere in the middle of the last 3.5 years, somewhere in that period of time, the Lord will return. He'll rapture His church, and then the wrath of God will be poured out with the trumpet judgments, and then these bowl judgments from day 6 to day 30 after the 7 years, these bowl judgments will happen. But Israel will be safe. They'll be protected. And that helps me to realize that God protects His people. When you're in His will, you are in the safest place you could be. Even if it's in a very dangerous place, if you're following the Lord, you're in the safest place you could be. And God's going to protect His people, and then He's going to pour out His judgment. Listen to me, God makes a big difference between the saved and the lost. There's a huge difference. By the way, there isn't heaven, hell, and purgatory. I studied church history. Purgatory was invented. We were talking about this the other day. Purgatory was invented. Carl was in the Catholic Church for many, many years and very much involved. Purgatory was invented by some people that wanted to raise money for a basilica. And they said, we got to get money. Let's come up with a doctrine that when your relatives die, they go to purgatory. And the way you can get them out of purgatory is, here it is, give money. And when you give money to the church, when the coins hit the bottom of the collection plate, the souls are flying up. There you go. They fly out of there. Now, the only problem is that's not in the Bible. If you can find it in the Bible, I'll give you $1,000. Just give me a Bible and show it to me. Listen, if it's not in the Bible, it's the word of man. And if it's the word of man, it's no good. Learn to trust God alone. He's the one that tells you the truth. And so there is no purgatory. There's heaven or hell, but that's a huge difference. Hell is one place, heaven is another. Man, it's so different. And so it's so important where you're going. And if you have put your faith in Christ as your Savior, you're going to heaven. And that's the good news. And you will not go through these judgments. But these bold judgments are going to be very, very severe from day 6 to day 30. Now, we looked at Revelation 11. And I want you to go back there because we're on day 6 now. And I want you to go back there to Revelation chapter 11. And actually, go back to Revelation 11. Let's look at verse 15. This is actually day 5. We're going to back up to day 5 now. Let's back up to day 5. And it says there in Revelation 11 and verse 15, "And the seventh angel sounded." That's the seventh trumpet that releases the bowl judgments. "And there was great, and there was, were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Now, what this is saying is, when these bowl judgments are poured out, it will be just a very short time, and then the Lord's going to take over the whole world. All right? He's going to take over the entire world. And then it says, "And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned." All right, now where are we right now? We're on top of Mount Zion. The seventh trumpet is sounding, which is the final woe. It's the final woe because that's the bowl judgments from day number five all the way up to day 6. It'll start all the way up to day 30. And we're on Mount Zion, and that's happening. And right at that time, I want you to notice what it says in verse 18. It says, "And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth." All right, this is on day number 5. On top of Mount Zion, this announcement's being made. This is right after the seventh angel has blown his trumpet. This is 5 days after the end of the 7 years. 5 days into the 30 days. Israel has been saved as a nation now. Now let me ask you a question. Where are we? If you are a saved person, where are you at this time when this is going on? Marion?
We're in heaven.
We've been in heaven since the rapture. Sometime during the second... excuse me, sometime during the second 3.5 years. And we're there in heaven, and this is going on the earth. Now, here's the thing. According to verse 18, what is happening? Look at Revelation 11, verse 18. When this seventh trumpet is blown on day 5, what does God say is happening? Anybody know? Marion's got her hand up. Eddie's got his hand up. Very good. Anybody else? You know what's happening? Just let me know if you think you know. I'm not going to necessarily call on you. But you think you know. Okay. Annie got her hand up. Very good. All right. Let's go with Eddie.
The judgment is happening on the earth.
The judgment is happening on the earth where the bowl judgments are going to be poured out upon the earth. But that's not the judgment that he's talking about here, is it? It says judge, and you think this is the judgment on the earth. But verse 18 is another judgment. What judgment is it, Mary?
That's the judgment of the saved where they're going to get their rewards.
Ah, that is the judgment of the saved where they're going to get their rewards. Now listen, have you ever heard of a pre-tribulational rapture? That means the rapture will take place before the 7 years. And those that teach that, they say that before the 7 years, everybody will be raptured, and then there'll be the judgment of the saved, called the judgment seat of Christ, the bema seat in the Greek of Christ, where we stand before him. And by the way, every one of us are going to stand before the Lord to give an account for what we did since we got saved with our lives. And we will have rewards or loss of rewards, all right, during that time. Now, they say, the pre-tribulationists say, that will happen before the 7 years. But according to this, when clearly, according to Revelation 5, if you know what Revelation teaches, when does this take place? Because this is when it's going to happen, right now, at this point in the Bible. When is this? Cynthia?
You just said it was under 5, so it's the 7 years plus 5 days.
That's exactly right. God tells you exactly when you are going to stand before the Lord. Now, you're already in heaven. You're already enjoying the reunion. And I believe from the rapture up until this point, it's just been one big reunion of all of the loved ones together in heaven. Mrs. Sabotnick, her son, went to heaven September 28, 2005. I think it's going to just be one big, wonderful reunion with loved ones and with the Lord in heaven during this time. And it's going to be a wonderful time. And then the Lord has to get some business done, and he's got to come down, and he's got to take care of his Jewish brethren, that he came and became a Jew. And he loves that nation. He's going to save them all. He's going to hide them. But then, once he gets all that done, he's going to go back up there from day 6 through day 30. And what he's going to do right after the trumpet sounded and right after he takes care of his Jewish brethren and hides them on day 6 in Azel there, when the Mount of Olives splits, he's going to go back up, and now we're going to stand before him for the judgment seat of Christ. We've had our reunion and had our... Now we're getting serious. We're going to have to give an account for every day we spent since we got saved. How did you spend it? What did you do? And if what you did was worthless and you did it in the flesh, it's going to burn up. With his powerful eyes, it's going to burn up. And you're going to be left with what you did good. What you did in the power of the Holy Spirit. What you did for God. That's all that's going to be left. And then that's going to be your money. That's going to be your treasure. That's going to be what you are going to have. And based on that, well, we'll talk about that, but that's going to be the judgment seat of Jesus Christ that's going to come in heaven. Now, after the judgment seat of Jesus Christ on day 30, what happens? Does anybody know? We didn't really study this yet. But on the last day, day 30, is the Battle of Armageddon. And that's when the Lord comes down and destroys the armies of the Roman beast and the Antichrist and crushes them. And the Bible says the blood is going to flow as high as the horse's bridles, about 200 miles in Israel there. Okay? Now, I just want to look at the judgment seat of Christ with you for a moment because we're all going to have to face this. And look again at verse 18, and it says there, "And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth." So on the earth, he's going to be judging the earth with the bowl judgments, but in heaven, he's going to judge the saints. By the way, which saints are going to be there? Which saints make up the church of the firstborn? I believe it's every believer in the Old Testament from Adam and Eve all the way up to the last believer before the rapture, that every one of us are part of the church of Jesus Christ that will be gathered together and raised from the dead and will be at that judgment seat. It doesn't matter if your body has been lost at sea, God will bring it out of there. It doesn't matter if your body's been burned or destroyed, God will bring it out of there. He'll bring the molecules together and bring that body together, and you'll stand before the Lord in a physical body, your body and soul, and you will recognize your loved ones that are there. We will be there, and it'll be a recognition. And then each of us will have to give an account to the Lord. And I want you to notice what it says about that accounting there. Notice that it's after the seventh trumpet that says that the Lord is going to reclaim the earth. All right? Now notice that it says that the Lord is going to reclaim the earth here, and it's going to take him the rest of the 30 days to do that, but he's going to reclaim the earth, and in the Battle of Armageddon, he is going to totally destroy any opposition to his judgment. Why do you think that's important, that when the Lord says, "I'm going to reclaim the earth," he also is going to judge us and at the same time? Does anybody know how that correlates? How does that fit with reclaiming the earth, that we have to have our judgment at that time? Marion?
Because
Well, this is just a guess, but I'm thinking that after the judgment, and when he cleans the earth, and when he judges the wicked and gets rid of them and sets up his kingdom on earth, the saved are going to be with him in his kingdom.
Did you hear that? That's very good. The saved are not only just going to be with him in his kingdom, the saved are going to run the earth. Because you see, the people that survived the day of the Lord's wrath that are not Jews, they are going to be living as the nations of the earth all over the earth. They'll spread out, kind of like after Noah's Ark, you know. The people that are the Jews that got saved will be living in Israel. And they were not raptured, so they're going to have bodies just like you and I. They're going to be able to have homes and have babies. And they're going to be able to repopulate the earth, just like after the flood, except the earth is going to be beautiful and renewed. It's called a new earth and a new atmosphere, a new heaven. It's going to be beautiful and cleansed. But now who is going to administer the world? Who's going to be over the cities? Who's going to be the mayors? And who's going to be the presidents? And who's going to be the courts to do courts, you know, when they have problems? Because though Satan is going to be bound, it's not perfect. The people are not perfect. They still have a sinful nature. But it will be a time when the Holy Spirit's influence will be very great. And literally, you and I will be the ones that will rule over the earth with Christ. In other words, he's going to rule through you and I. He could use angels, but he's chosen to use men. And we're going to be like visible angels, and people will be given account to you and to me in that new earth. Yes?
My question is, I'm going to use the instance of Aaron.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Would he be able to come back and have a family? Gone to heaven?
Now here's the distinction. All right, here's the distinction.
I guess I just
understood. At the rapture, which is sometime during the second 3.5 years of the 7 years, everyone that has been saved will be raised to meet Christ, whether you died or whether you're alive. Your body will be raised and you will have a glorified body. So that glorified body then will make us to reign with Christ. But the people that did not get saved before the rapture, but yet they didn't take the mark of the beast, and after the rapture they got saved. And specifically, that would be at the sheep and goat judgment, which we'll talk about. They're going to go into the kingdom with their normal bodies. And then they'll have the children. And so people like Eric and all of us that are saved, we will be the government of that kingdom. And so that's important. Because, you see, if you're saved, God is preparing you to reign over the earth. And that's going to be your role. And so it's important that you are ready for that, because God is going to determine your role based on how faithful you are. All right? So that's why it's right then that the Lord does this judgment seat of Christ, because now he's getting ready to kick off all the people from the earth that are not saved. They may be very rich people. They may have a lot of money. They may have mansions all over the place. Some people have so many homes they can't keep up with them. But that is, and there's nothing wrong with owning property. I'm not saying that's bad or sinful. That's not bad or sinful necessarily. But if you're not saved, you're going to lose all that. The Bible says the meek will inherit the earth. And the Lord is going to determine your portion, get this, in the millennial kingdom based on the faithfulness that you showed him since you've been saved. And he will then reward you in that period of time. So it's based upon the service that you've done for the Lord in your body right now. In fact, take your Bible and look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I just want to show you a verse about that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And look at verse number 10. Just going to look at some verses on this judgment here that's going to take place. It says in verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." Now, what he's saying here is this is the judgment seat of Christ. And this does not determine if you're going to go to heaven or hell. This determines how many rewards you're going to get in the future kingdom of God, or whether you're going to lose reward, and whether you're not going to have a big role in the kingdom of God because you weren't faithful. And the Bible says we persuade men to be faithful because of that. All right? Now go to Romans 14. Romans 14 and verse 10. And also look at verse 12 of Romans 14. Now look what it says. "But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." So you see, he's saying, don't put down your brother and don't write him off as being nothing, because the Lord is able to help him to be blessed and to be rewarded. And don't be so quick to write some Christian off. I remember sometimes a Christian's going through a hard time, a bad time, maybe they're backslidden, and people say, "Oh, that Christian's no good. They're no good." Hey, don't say that. There may be somebody backslidden, there may be somebody on church discipline, but they can get right with God and still have rewards. God can bring them back to himself. Don't give up on them. And the Bible says that at the judgment seat of Christ, you and I are going to have to give an account. That's what we ought to be worried about. We ought to be worried about standing before the Lord and giving an account for how we're spending our time. You won't stand before me. You won't stand before a deacon. You won't stand before some friend of yours. You'll stand before the Lord himself. And he's the one that's going to determine your job in the millennium. And that's when the true riches are. You know, people that are trying to get ahead in this life, and they want to get the best house, and they want to get the best car, and they want to get all this, and sometimes they get themselves in all kind of debt. The Bible says the true riches are the ones when God takes over this earth and cleans it up and renews it, and then he'll give us our reward. And that'll be a lasting reward, because that kingdom is going to go for 1,000 years, but then it will go on into eternity. This will determine your standing in eternity. Now, granted, everything that we accomplish is by the grace of God, but still there are rewards. Sometimes kids tell me, like I had a couple kids tell me, "Well, we don't want to do this you're asking us to do, because we don't want to do it just for the merit you're going to give us. We know you're going to give us rewards." And I say, "Well, I didn't say it has to be just for the rewards. You can do it for the Lord. You can do it, you know, for the merits. You can do it for other reasons. But part of the reason why we're faithful is because of the rewards. The Lord says it. And so don't think that's a carnal thing. It's in the Bible. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, because here you get a picture of this judgment, which will happen on the fifth day after the seventh trumpet, or on the sixth day after the seventh trumpet, no doubt. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and look at verse 9. And there it says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." He's describing his ministry as a preacher. And he says, "According to the grace of God," verse 10, "which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." In other words, if you don't have faith in Christ as your personal Savior, you are not even going to heaven, and you're not going to go to the judgment seat of Christ. You're going to wind up in hell. So you have to have that foundation. And then he says in verse 12, "Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood," notice that, "hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." So your work is going to be tried, of what sort of work you've done, whether it's going to be the work that God wants you to do or the work of your flesh. And it says in verse 14, "If any man's work abide or remain, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a," look at that, "a reward." We just talked about the reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So, if you lose the reward, it doesn't mean you lose your salvation. You'll be saved, but by fire. Have you ever heard of somebody that got burned out of house and home? They lost everything, but they were saved, and they said, oh man, I'm glad I'm alive. That's the way it's going to be. Man, I'm saved. Thank God for that. But there is a sense of loss here, just like if you lost your home and everything in it. Except now it's greater than losing your home because you've lost an eternal reward that you can never get back again. And so this is very sobering to the Christian that if we've received salvation from hell, now we ought to seek salvation from a lost, wasted life through the power of Jesus Christ. And don't take that lightly. Because after the great reunion, there's going to be this very sober accounting before the Lord that we have to go through before the kingdom of God is set up on the earth. All right? And that's in 1 Corinthians 3. Now, go to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. It's interesting to me. Why when people die, don't they get rewarded when they die? Why? It seems like it would be easier. Let's say that Brother Eddie, God forbid, dies today. Why couldn't he just get a reward today? And the Lord just say, okay, Eddie, your life is over now. I'm going to give you a reward. And let's say I die tomorrow. And God says, okay, Pastor Bloom, your life is over. Now I'm going to give you a reward. And then Mr. Sabatik dies the next day. And why not that? All right, brother. I'll get Brother Eddie first. He had his hand up.
Okay, because what we did here in the earth have not been finished to other people that are going through the same thing.
Exactly right. Isn't that tremendous that what you do continues after you die? If you do something good, God can give you rewards for it after you die. Okay? Mr. Sabatik.
So Eric will still when that day comes, will receive all the rewards from all the kids who are able to go to school because of his death?
Exactly right. If you do things for God that are used after you die, like we're talking about with Eric, that accrues interest after you are in heaven. It continues to accrue interest. And that's why it says in Proverbs 10, the memory of the just is blessed. You see? And that should encourage us while we're living to lay up those treasures because it goes on. And that's why the judgment doesn't come until this point. That's exciting. And rewards will be given. And so if you look at Luke 19 and look at verse 12, it says there in Luke 19 verse 12, a certain nobleman went into a far country, received for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Now the 10 pounds are money. That's an English term. You know what a pound is, an English pound. That's money. He says, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. The first came, then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, thou hast authority over 10 cities. You see that? So he's saying it's like somebody giving a person money and they invest that money wisely. They're going to be rewarded. Well, God has given you more than money. He's given you salvation. He's given you spiritual gift. He's given you time that you can use for him. He's given you the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Now, if you invest that to serve him, that when he comes back, he is going to give you a greater responsibility in the kingdom to serve him. And you see in this thing, each man was rewarded according to his service here as we read through that. So that's very important because You don't want your rewards to be lost. Now real quick, because we're out of time, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. As we're looking at this judgment seat of Christ right now. 1 Corinthians 6 and then verse 2 it says, "Do not ye know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters?" What is that saying in verse 2 when it says, "Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world?" What is that talking about? All right, a couple hands up. Let's go with Marion.
Would it mean that they're going to rule the world?
They're going to rule the world. That's what judge the world means. Rule the world. And so what he's saying to these Christians, he's saying, you guys can't even handle problems in your church, let alone problems in your personal life. You can't handle these things. How are you going to rule the world? Don't you realize? Well, not how are you. You are going to rule the world. And you need to get ready for that right now. You need right now to use wisdom in your decisions, because God has a plan for you to rule the world. And you don't want to lose that reward. And so that's what this is talking about. And so today we're looking at the judgment seat of Christ and getting ready for that day. I hope that you're thinking about that. You're getting ready for that day. And it's going to be a great day if you've invested your life in the will of God.